The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com, False Measles Vaccine Conspiracy Theories Won't Stop. Here's everything you need to know. This article was written by Angie Jamie on March 13th. There's a deadly measles outbreak raging in West Texas, and it's being fueled, at least in part, by anti-vaccine conspiracy theories. The Texas Department of Health and Human Services announced two cases of measles in unvaccinated children on January 23rd. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that, as of March 7th, there are 208 cases related to the Texas outbreak, which has also spread into New Mexico. As a result, one child has died and another death is under investigation. This outbreak marks the first measles death in the U.S. in a decade. Nearly all of the people who have had the measles in this Texas outbreak are unvaccinated, or their vaccination status is unknown. According to KFF research published in November 2024, childhood vaccination rates in the U.S. have been falling over the last few years, which appears to be related to increasing vaccine hesitancy, fueled in part by vaccine misinformation, after the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, 93% of U.S. kindergartners are fully vaccinated against the measles, according to the New York Times, falling below the 95% needed for herd immunity. And in some places, like spots in Texas, fewer than 50% are protected against measles. While the source of the current outbreak is unknown, Dr. Jennifer Shuford, head of the Texas Department of State Health Services, told the state's House Committee on Public Health that decreasing trust in vaccines is part of the problem. At 95%, we have what's called herd immunity. We know when those vaccine levels get lower than 95% that there's enough unprotected people together to cause an outbreak, she said, according to the Texas Tribune. There's been some decreased interest or decrease in trust in vaccines, and that's caused a decrease in vaccination rates. But what exactly is behind that distrust, particularly in the measles vaccine? Here's how the fully debunked and false conspiracy theories about the measles vaccine came to be. It started with a study that wrongly linked the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine with autism. In 1998, Andrew Wakefield, an anti-vaccine activist and former doctor who has now been banned from practice in the UK, his home country, and 12 co-authors published a paper that falsely concluded that possible environmental triggers, i.e. the vaccine, were associated with the onset of both chronic enterocolitis and developmental regression. 12 years after publishing the controversial study that spurred countless parents around the world to abstain from the MMR vaccine, medical journal The Lancet retracted the paper, finding it to be incorrect. Britain's General Medical Council, which registers and regulates doctors in the UK, ruled that Wakefield acted dishonestly and irresponsibly during his research and with callous disregard for the children involved in his study. Though the study has now been disproven, there is no link between the MMR vaccine and autism. The damage had already been done. According to a report in Time from 2010, vaccination rates among toddlers in the UK plummeted from over 90% in the mid-1990s to below 70% in some places by 2003. Following this drop, Britain saw an increase in measles cases at a time when the disease had been all but eradicated in many developed countries. In 1998, there were just 56 cases of the disease in England and Wales. By 2008, there were 1,370. In the U.S., research found that vaccine skepticism increased because of Wakefield's paper. Per the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, NFID, the MMR vaccine is highly effective in preventing measles, helping to protect the child who is vaccinated, as well as those unable to be vaccinated who are most vulnerable to serious disease, such as immunocompromised patients and infants too young to be vaccinated. The NFID is clear in its messaging that the most important thing parents and others can do to help protect their families and communities from measles is to make sure that everyone who can be vaccinated is vaccinated against measles. And MMR vaccination rates across the U.S. have been and continue to be fairly high, though often falling short of the 95% threshold. To this day, many parent advocacy groups continue to defend Wakefield, despite the retraction of the critically flawed study, and that no large study has ever replicated his findings. Generation Rescue, a group founded by actors Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey, rose in the wake of this study, dominating the public conversation around autism, while offering debunked and potentially harmful methods to treat autism. At one point, Generation Rescue's board members included figures like Katie Wright, daughter of Bob and Suzanne Wright, the founders of influential and controversial advocacy group Autism Speaks. While MMR vaccination rates have slightly fluctuated over the years, the COVID-19 pandemic breathed new life into vaccine hesitancy and skepticism, prompting another drop in the number of children getting their MMR vaccines. The Guardian reports that influencers who gained large followings during the pandemic, including those at the forefront of sowing doubt about the COVID vaccines, appear to have refocused some attention on MMR, an increasingly politicized topic. Misinformation and conflicting messaging continues about in current mass communication. As recently as March 2025, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has been criticized for his purported connection to the 2019 measles outbreak in Samoa that killed 83, outlined a strategy for containing the measles outbreak in West Texas in a wide-ranging interview with Fox News, largely drawing on fringe theories about prevention and treatment. Despite extensive research to the contrary, he also suggested vaccination injuries were more common than currently known. Bizarrely, the known anti-vax secretary simultaneously called for vaccinations in the affected community. Conflicting messaging surrounding MMR vaccine conspiracy theories particularly targets parents on social media. Parents are especially vulnerable. They may be concerned about protecting their child from a vaccine that they see as potentially harmful, or they may be searching for a reason their child was diagnosed with autism. But autism is not caused by vaccines, and there is no one known cause or reason for it. One study from Texas A&M School of Public Health researchers set out to identify reasons why anti-vaccine attitudes persist among parents. Our research suggests that anti-vaccine attitudes have deeply grounded psychological origins, which may be quite difficult to change, author Timothy Callahan, Ph.D., said in an article about the study. Their report noted that a crucial challenge for medical professionals was how to communicate effectively to change the minds of those with more conspiratorial thinking. suggesting that efforts to encourage childhood vaccination may be more successful if we avoid making mention of specific studies, which parents might see as motivated by ulterior motives, or tying information to health departments, which these parents might find untrustworthy. At once, in part because of conflicting messaging, fact and evidence-based communication might hold less weight for worried parents, considering the emotional weight of issues regarding children's health in general. One study also suggests that Dunning-Kruger effects, in which people overestimate their knowledge on a certain subject, can also help explain public opposition to vaccination policies. Further, the study suggests that this overconfidence is associated with opposition to mandatory vaccination policy and is also associated with increased support for the role that non-experts, e.g. celebrities, play in the policy-making process. Vaccines have saved more human lives than any other medical intervention in history, according to the World Health Organization. But these unfounded theories continue to prevent vaccines from protecting some vulnerable groups. In the face of a measles outbreak, however, some people seem to change their thinking. Texas station KHOU reports that demand for the measles vaccine has soared in the state in recent weeks. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Gender inequality. Is it a thing of the past or a present issue? This article was written by Olivia Ribot on March 15th. Not too long ago, I was getting to know a boy, and I brought up the fact that I'm a feminist. He started thinking for a minute and turned to me saying, "How can you be a feminist if gender inequality doesn't exist anymore?" I froze, in shock, so I asked him, "Do you think men and women are equal?" With all certainty, he responded, "Yes, of course, it's 2025. Weeks later, after this conversation, I still thought, do people really think gender inequality just vanished overnight? I soon realized a vast group of people, particularly teenage boys, did in fact have this idea. The reality of gender inequality. Gender inequality is more than present in our everyday lives, even in the most advanced societies. The thing is, it's not always an easy thing to see or understand if it isn't faced directly. The question is, why has society made it so easy for us to believe this phenomenon has disappeared? Statistics tell the truth. Although it may seem gender inequality is something of the past, global statistics don't say the same. Today, women enjoy less than 2/3 of the legal rights available to men. 1 in 3 women globally have already suffered physical and/or sexual intimate partner violence, non-partner sexual violence, or both. Every 11 minutes, a woman or girl is killed by a member of her own family. The list goes on and on. These are real numbers, real women. How many more lives will it take for us to be listened to? Feminism isn't something that can be silenced. It's a unity, a fight. Why has it been forgotten? One of the primary reasons people who live in privileged societies have forgotten about gender inequality is because the most obvious problems have been resolved. Yes, girls go to school and have an education. Yes, women can vote. Sometimes it's the invisible things. The extra stare when you decide to wear something a little more revealing. The instant alert mode when you're alone on the street and it starts getting dark out. Mom's "be careful" before you leave to go out with your friends. I'm pretty sure all the girls reading this can agree these are common examples of what we live on a daily basis. The role of social media. Social media doesn't help either. These platforms often spread the belief that feminism has gone too far, or that men are now the true victims of gender discrimination. This isn't just a coincidence. Social media's algorithms promote engaging content, often favoring controversy and outrage. Many young men who are struggling with job insecurity, dating difficulties, and social expectations blame it on feminism or women's empowerment. What can we do? So, you might ask, where do we start? What measures need to be implemented so that everyone is aware of the current state of society? What do we have to do so that people start taking us seriously? How can we get rid of it once and for all? It's simple. Reading this very article is a start. Exposing this type of content on teenage platforms is a great way to raise awareness, especially for the upcoming generations. We are the future, so we need to be the first ones to take initiative on this matter. Education is another great way, too. Schools are something present in absolutely every teenager's life. It's the place where we grow as people. It's the place where we learn how to be people. Activities such as assemblies, assignments, and projects can be an engaging way to make sure young people are well-informed and educated on this topic. Conclusion. In conclusion, it is critical that we remind ourselves that gender inequality still exists, and that we take action to make sure the upcoming generations are well aware of it. Inequality isn't something we are going to be able to get rid of easily, but I believe that if we start taking the initiative now and making an effort to change and evolve together, with luck, we won't have to explain the concept of inequality to our grandchildren. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Jules Smith says, cousin Rumi Carter is just now taking him seriously as a model. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on February 13th, and there is a note. In his Moment by Teen Vogue cover story, Solange's son, Jules Smith, reflects on his modeling career and influencing his younger family members, including cousin Rumi Carter. Slowly but surely, Jules Smith is establishing himself as a force to be reckoned with in the modeling world. Since making his runway debut at Luar's Fall 2024 show during NYFW, he has gone on to book gigs with Versace, Blue Marble, Off-White, and Kid Super across New York, Milan, and Paris. At only 20, his resume is more than impressive, but admittedly, Smith's got a bit of a tough crowd to impress at home. Just a little reminder, his mom is Solange, his grandma is Tina Knowles, his aunt is Beyoncé, and his cousins are Blue Ivy, Rumi, and Sir Carter. However, slowly but surely, Smith's fashion prowess is wowing the fam. In a new Moment by Teen Vogue cover interview, Smith opened up about a cute little bonding moment with his baby cousin Rumi from just before he jetted off to Paris Fashion Week this season, where he was pleasantly taken aback after the 7-year-old showed genuine appreciation for his line of work. I was packing my bag and she was like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "I'm going to Paris." She was like, "Oh, you're going to work." And that was my first time where any of my cousins or siblings was like, "Okay, yeah, he got a job now. My cousin's going to work," Smith told Teen Vogue's Ayana Ishmael. It seems like it was only yesterday that Smith was 6, standing on stage with Beyoncé and Tina at the BBMAs. But time flies, and the whole family is feeling it. They're asking me questions like, "You drive now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm 20 now. I ain't the same 15-year-old when you were born. You feel me?" He continued. But that type of stuff warms my heart, just knowing that my younger folks in my family look up to me and I'm a role model to them. Elsewhere in the interview, Smith opened up further about being the oldest of the cousins and leading by example. "It's been protector mode since everybody was born, just trying to be a positive role model as they get older," he explained. "I think that's been my main goal. And it's cool. They know their cousin is a model now, so it's like, all right, that might rub off on one of the kids. I'm really close to my family, so being the oldest is like, I got to set the tone, set the standard for them, make sure I'm in the same direction that I would want them to go." Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Normani and DK Metcalf are officially engaged. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on March 14th. Love is definitely in the air for Normani and DK Metcalf. The couple is officially engaged. The NFL wide receiver, whose real name is DeKalen Zacharias Metcalf, announced the news himself during his trade press conference on Thursday, March 13, 2025. Metcalf, who has just been traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Pittsburgh Steelers, took the chance to get a little personal during the press conference, revealing he had just proposed to Normani after 2 years of dating. "ICYMI, the duo made things Instagram official in the summer of 2023. Metcalf got into detail about the proposal during the conference, with Normani watching him from the side wearing a Steelers jersey. "She's right there. Hold that rock up, baby," Metcalf said with a smile. He shared that he proposed on March 12th, just one day before the conference and mere days after Normani returned from Paris Fashion Week. "My family and her family was in Houston. It was my sister's spring break, and just thought about getting the whole family together for a big kumbaya and joining our families with the ring," Metcalf added. "They got me good," Normani can be heard saying about the proposal MO in a video from the conference. Metcalf told reporters that he had been wanting to propose to Normani for over a year, but was waiting for the right time as he tried to take an approach to where a schedule couldn't matter. Ultimately, he popped the question with a tried and true method. "I started sending her flowers with a story, and then the last letter on the flower was, 'Will you marry me?' And she said yes," he recounted. After announcing the news, in another video posted by the Pittsburgh Steelers X account, Metcalf thanked his beautiful fiancée for supporting him during the trade. Though they only went public with their relationship in 2023, Normani and Metcalf first sparked romance rumors in 2022 after being spotted enjoying a dinner date together. However, the pair actually met in 2020 after being introduced to each other by Sierra and his then-Seahawks teammate, Russell Wilson. Sierra and Wilson reacted to the couple's engagement on TikTok, posting a screen grab from a FaceTime call where Normani shows off her ring. "Russell Wilson and I knew when we intro'd y'all 3 years ago," Sierra wrote in the caption. "Love was truly in the air. Now y'all gonna be booed up forever. This was the best news. We love y'all so much." Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Simone Biles reacts to Bree Clark becoming first college gymnast to land the Biles 1. This article was written by Ashley Carter on March 1st. collegiate athlete Bree Clark got a huge reaction from Simone Biles after making history as the first NCAA gymnast to land the Biles 1 tumbling pass. Clark joined her fellow Clemson women's gymnastics teammates on Friday night in a victory over Texas Women's University and the University of New Hampshire, becoming the first collegiate athlete to pull off a stunt named after a legend. 12 years after Biles first introduced the move, Clark, a redshirt junior, pulled off the Biles 1 with ease. The Biles 1 is a floor skill that's also known as a double layout with a half twist. To non-gymnastics experts, any type of double flip seems to be impressive, but many professional and collegiate gymnasts pull off the double layout. It's the addition of the half twist that made the move so legendary. After breaking a record for NCAA gymnasts everywhere, Clark was met with praise from the very woman whose name inspired the skill, Simone Biles. The 7-time Olympic gold medalist shared the video of Clark pulling the Biles 1 on her Instagram story with the caption, "I know that's right." Biles also commented under the video twice, first writing, "Congrats," celebration emoji, laughing emoji, and then adding, "And closing out Black History Month, yes ma'am," breath emoji, IKTR. Clemson Gymnastics also shared an adorable video of Clark being shown the comments Biles made and the gymnast's excited reaction. "Guess who commented?" says the person showing Clark the video. "Shut up," Clark responded when she realized Biles saw the video. "Twice. She knows I exist." Simone Biles, who has since become the most decorated gymnast of all time, first pulled off her now eponymous move in 2013 during the World Championships in Antwerp, Belgium. The double layout with a half twist would become one of 5 moves to be named after her in her expansive career. The 27-year-old athlete has yet to confirm whether or not she will return to the sport for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, but is still in the process of deciding. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.